If someone else were writing this story of Christmas, the shepherds may have been included for comic relief. A few rough blue-collar guys to anchor the fantastic plot in reality. But God honors shepherds. King David was a shepherd, and the promised Messiah, born that night not far away, was the greatest shepherd of all. These guys were no joke to the angels who brought the birth announcement. Yes, the shepherds were scared when the darkness exploded in light all around them. Who wouldn't be? But they heard the message, and they believed it. The Messiah has come. To tell the story of Christmas, the one we're still telling today.
If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah with a Z. It's in the Old Testament, small prophetic book, Zephaniah chapter 3. And we'll be at verse number 14, and I'll read that in just a second. Church, on this third week of Advent, we continue our journey in pursuit of a word from the Lord pertaining to love being revealed. Now, collectively, we wait for Christ's return, and in the meantime, we reject the notion that we stand as idle zombies. The King who brought justice when he came the first time is going to bring justice when he comes again. The King who brought life when he came the first time is going to bring life again. Now, I've been proclaiming a refrain of love because our world is in need of love. And nothing will change that. This world will always be in need of love. No matter what our world looks like, it will always need love. I believe that the church should step up and audaciously declare that we intend to be the purveyors of love in our world. And this morning, I want us to spend some time with the theme of love being revealed to forgive sins. Zephaniah chapter 3, starting at verse number 14. It says, "Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. And on that day, they will say to Jerusalem, 'Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and a reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. And at that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Now, church, you can see why the nation of Israel, Judah, was eagerly awaiting the arrival of a Messiah or king. Years and years of oppression heightened the desire for restoration and liberation. Oppression had robbed the people of their identity. It had sucked the life out of them, as was the case in the days when Israel was enslaved in Egypt. The people were demoralized as they surveyed their existence. It was no fun being oppressed. And the people were eager for a liberator, someone with strength and power that could change the landscape, and someone with skill and mastery to lead the people out of their predicament. But something was different this time than was the case in Egypt. The Jews were a people who believed in cause and effect. The prophets of old reminded the people on numerous occasions that the situation they were in was a result of their sinfulness and rebellion. Your church, you know what it's like when you're punished for doing something wrong, and your parents give you time to think about it. I remember as a child when I was punished, if it wasn't the swift, painful and repeated justice of my mother or dad, sometimes it wouldn't be that type of justice. It would be the justice or the punishment of you are not allowed to leave the house, or better yet, and they would really get me with this one. I didn't realize how much this got me till right now and how much it was painful. They would say, you couldn't go any further but the front porch. How many people remember that? How many people remember that? Now I thought that was kind of cool. At least I get to go outside, but that was so miserable. Sitting on a porch and watching all your friends play, and you just sitting there, you know, just kind of with just looking at them play. And it was just so painful. And of course, I had smart aleck friends that were like, oh, you can't come off the porch. It was something else when your parents gave you some time to think about what you've done. And all you think about is, man, I wish I was out there. But man, the reason I'm sitting on this porch is because I messed up. Well, think about it. Israel, where we're sitting in a predicament of oppression, And they were told over and over again, and it began to become part of their context and their understanding that we are in the situation that we are because of what we have done. It is likely that as Israel looked around, they were overwhelmed with a deep sense of remorse, disappointment, and despair as they deduce that the reason they were where they were was because of their sin. And perhaps what Israel wanted more than the bling bling of luxury that defined a nation when it was prominent, more than a mighty army to defeat their enemies, more than a land flowing with milk and honey once again, more than a seat at the international table of nations, more than all of that, I think that Israel wanted forgiveness. They wanted a pardon from the Almighty God. And this was a corporate cry of the people. I mean, hear this cry summed up in the prayer of Solomon as he dedicated the temple from 1 Kings chapter 8. As Solomon lifted his hands and he was praying, he said, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer as his plea for mercy. Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When anyone wrongs their neighbor and is required to take an oath, and they come and swear the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act judge between your servants, condemning the guilty by bringing down on their heads what they have done, and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence. When your people, Israel, have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive. Forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land you gave to their ancestors. And when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. For Israel, church, forgiveness was the beginning of restoration and liberation. For Israel, forgiveness would be the context in which the dawning of a new kingdom would flourish. For Israel, things were not going to be right until they were forgiven. So then how would you feel? How would you feel if the prophetic voice came to you and said this: sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. How would you feel if you were Israel and you were pondering all the stuff that you had done and you were longing for God's forgiveness? How would you feel if the prophet then came to you and said, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Would you get your groove back? Would you get some of your mojo back? Would you get some pep in your step, some glide in your stride, and some roll in your stroll if the preacher spoke this into your life? I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all the oppressed, all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. Church, would you be a part of the great revival? If at the invitation, the prophet concluded with these words: at that time I will gather you, at that time I will bring you home, I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Church, the coming of the Messiah meant that love was being revealed to bring forgiveness through the mighty hand of God. He is mighty to save. He's mighty to save us from our rebellion, save us from our sins, save us from our ignorance, save us from our forgetfulness, save us from our wickedness. He is loving enough to forgive us from lying and from sexual sin and gossip and pride and power grabs and relationship busting. And he is compassionate enough to take on the sins of the world in victorious fashion so that his people who live under the weight of the guilt can come off the porch and experience life. So then hear how love will bring forgiveness as the news of Jesus's birth is brought or told to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Church, that's forgiveness. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When I look in this audience, or when I look into the mirror, I see people in need of the forgiveness of God. For all the junk we have done, for all the people we have hurt, for all the rebellion, we need forgiveness. And right now I feel like forgiveness is something the body of Christ must come to grips with and lean into it. I mean really embrace the forgiveness of God. I mean really believe that God has forgiven us. I mean really accept that the debts we owe have been canceled by God. Paul writes to the Colossian church in chapter 2 and verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, not some, not a percentage, not the good ones, but he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see, sin and the evil one would have us feel that we still owe something. Sin and the evil one would have us think that we still got to do more to get those debts canceled. But once and for all on the cross, Jesus Christ forgave us. If you want to experience life to the full, embrace the forgiveness of God. In church, sometimes our embrace of forgiveness is hindered by the problem of not forgiving ourselves. And I've spoken about this in the past and on numerous occasions, that one of the reasons why we stink at forgiving others is because we don't know how to forgive ourselves. Church, it's time for us to let some stuff go. It's time for us to understand that it wasn't your fault. It's time to understand that, guess what? Yeah, you did something that was pretty bad, it was pretty despicable, but God has forgiven you. You can come off the porch now. You can experience life. It's time to let some stuff go. And church, right now we are living in a culture where vengeance and payback is the rule, not the exception. And as I look at this group, I can't help but believe that what the world doesn't need is more payback, but more cancellation of debts, forgiveness. What the world needs now is a generation who subscribes to the new world order of the kingdom of God that errs on the side of forgiveness. I wish I had a good picture of what that would look like. I'm just not good at drawing the perfect picture of God's forgiveness. But it's a good thing that God is good at it. Because in the presence of a little baby lie the hope of all men and women. Whereas before, men and women were easily broken. In the community of forgiveness, they are forged into a new bond where we may be broken, but not easily broken. Is Joe Cooper in the house? Can I borrow you for a second? I need to borrow Joe Cooper. Can I borrow you for a second? If you're on Facebook, you might see from time to time Joe Cooper on the air, you know, talking about, yeah, I'm about to eat this 2-pound steak and I'm about to go work out, man. Oh, man, it's obviously every day is chest day. If you look at, you know, his chest here and, you know, he can't help but, you know, sit in the back like, you know, kind of like this. But I'm saying all that to say that Joe Cooper is a pretty strong guy. He likes to work out. He could probably wreck shop for some people. We just understand that. But Joe Cooper's my man here, and I need you to help me out with an illustration here. I've got a pencil here. It's a brown pencil, which represents me on, you know, several ways. I'm brown, and my coat is brown, my shoe is chocolate. Very good. So like, there are things that just happens in our lives, right? That just it breaks us. I mean, I have a friend, a colleague in ministry, by the name of Michael, and last week on Tuesday morning, he woke up and he went to go get his son and his daughter up, and his 2-year-old son had died. Just suddenly, he wasn't sick. He just died. Now I don't know about y'all. I don't know how y'all would handle this, but if I walk in my daughter's bedroom, one of my daughter's bedroom, and I find her not alive anymore, that's something that would get that pencil off. That's something that would just break me. You're a strong dude. Don't make a fool of me now. That's something that would just break me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I have another friend who shared some stuff, and he shared with a group of us that his wife of 10 years and they've got 3 kids just woke up and told him one day, said, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. Yeah, that's just something that'll just break you. You know, I found out last week that Notre Dame is gonna play Ohio State. We can put a wager on it if y'all want to. You know, that's how it is. We're easily broken. One of the messages of Advent is that we are purposely surrounding ourselves with the different themes of the candle. I mean, we're surrounding ourselves with hope, and we're surrounding ourselves with peace and with joy. And with love. Now I'll tell you what, man. You surround yourself with that. I'm pretty sure that Joe's a pretty strong guy. He probably could break this stack of pencils. But I'm not only surrounding myself with love, joy, hope, and peace. I gave some pencils out to some people. Who could you raise your pencil if I gave you a pencil? Because not only am I surrounding myself with love, joy, and hope and peace, I'm surrounding myself with other people. You see, Grandma from Florida is here. That's why it's like 80 degrees a day. I'm surrounding myself with so many people, you know, in the community of forgiveness. If we continue to surround ourselves, start with love, joy, hope, and peace and forgiveness, and you forge that community, but you just continue to just bring people in your life. This is why relationship church is so important. This is why church is so important. This is why small groups is so important. This is why having a community of friends is so important. This is why it's important that we don't just receive God's forgiveness, but we begin to share God's forgiveness with other people in community, because you continue to just surround yourself. We got some more pencils out here. You know, I need Greg, and I need his silliness and his word. I need Doug and Jane. Is that all the pencils? That's all the pencils? Here's some more. We surround ourselves. All right. All right, chest man. Okay. Okay, all right, here we go. Here, you take it. All right, now break this. Break. Just break them.
You can't, because together everyone's stronger.
You can't break it?
Like that.
Look, man, look.
There you go.
If we forge ourselves, and when somebody fall, we pick them up, right? If we forge ourselves into a community with a foundation of love, joy, peace, and hope in the name of Jesus Christ, and we begin to embrace one another in this community of forgiveness, we're going to experience death. We might experience divorce. We might experience cancer. We might experience debt. We might experience losing our homes. We might experience a world of things. I've got some family members right now that's struggling in a church system that is just killing them. If we forge ourselves in a community, we're not easily broken. That's the message of Advent. That was the message of Advent the first time, and that's the message of Advent as we wait right now for Christ to return. As a missional church, as a church that's on a mission to do something special in this community, let's not fall into the trap of what the world says, or how the world says we should treat people, how the world says we should get back at people, how to work. No, let's become a community forged together by love, joy, hope, and peace that says we have been forgiven and we're going to forgive. Is that okay, church? All right, give the muscle-bound man some... Okay. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love, your kindness, for your grace, your mercy, for your justice, for your forgiveness. Father, praying that your message of forgiveness would take a deep root in all of our hearts, so that we would become a community of forgiveness, that we would understand that being forged and formed into a community of forgiveness would mean that the stuff that so easily entangles us and eventually breaks us, that we won't be so easily broken and perhaps not even easily entangled. God, we don't know where to start to thank you for what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Father, we start with hearts full of gratitude, hearts full of worship. Father, I pray that the songs that we've sang today, the prayers that we have prayed today, the expressions of faith that we have expressed through giving, through sharing in the communion, Father, I pray that it represents just a little bit of the gratitude that we have for you. God, we don't rest there, Father. We pray that we would live lives in such a way that it reflects that we are a community that has been forgiven and a community that forgives. Father, while we live right now in the 21st century in 2015 with threats of terror and with rampant deaths and violence, God, I pray that we don't become a community of the payback, but that we become a community of the forgiven and the forgivers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that God is mighty and that he is powerful enough to do something special in your life, I pray that you would embrace God, that you would embrace his love, that you would embrace his forgiveness. If there's anything that the church can do for you this morning, pray for you, spend time on you, touch you, and love on you. If you're struggling with something, you want to share that with the body, ask the shepherds to come forward. We will receive you. You just make your way up to any of the shepherds. And look, my wife keeps dropping the mic every week. Y'all leave my wife alone. If there is anything that the church can do for you, pray for you, share with you, you just make your way to one of the shepherds. Also, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, you want to make a profession of faith, you want to participate in the ministry of baptism, we also want to give you that opportunity. Let's stand and let's sing this powerful song, that God is mighty to save. Let's sing, church.